Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Tam the Kos Rachman Olel. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Mishnah had taught us that although there's a mitzvah of Yibum, if the woman who falls to Yibum is an erva to the Yavam, then there is no mitzvah to Yibum. And as we learned, it even applies to her tzara, to any co-wife of hers. The Gemara had taught us in yesterday's shiur that the basis for this limud was from the pasuk by the erva of Achos Ishtoi, one of the ervas where the Torah adds the word aleha, to teach us that even when there is an obligation to do yibum, if the woman is an erva, that obligation is not there. Says the Gemara, Tam de Kos Rechman Aleha. So the reason there is no mitzvah yibum when the woman that falls to yibum is an erva, because the Torah adds the word aleha, which is the basis of a gzeirah shavah, to teach us that here we won't have a chi of yibum. Halav hachi, if not that the Torah added this word of aleha, hava mina achos isha miyabemis. We would say that achos isha and every other erva is subject to Yibum. My Tama, what would be the logic for such a din? The meaning, because we would say, Osi Essay, the essay of the mitzvahs of Yibum, the Doicha Laisasay, and as Doicha the Lav of this woman being an Erva. Ask the Gemara, Amram meaning, Osi Essay, the Doicha Laisasay, when do we say that essay is Doicha Laisasay, Laisasay greater? When there's an essay versus a lav, and we'll discuss this in Mitzvah Shem more soon, we say essay doicha loisasei. However, loisasei shiesh beikaris midachi, in the situation where a lav in question is a lav that has a karis, like an owl gemara, the lav of erva, lav of achos isha, is a lav that has in it a chi of karis, do we under such circumstances say essay doicha loisasei? Ask Tosfos, isn't the whole halacha of Yibum based on essay doichei lois essay sheish bekoris? Because when one dies, when a brother dies without children, his wife is an eshes ach triyavam. Yet the Torah tells us they should do Yibum. So we see essay doichei lois essay sheish bekoris. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim to answer this question. One approach is, if we're going to say that because of this reason, we should not have a mitzvah yibum, because it's an essay versus a lav shesh bekaris, we will have eliminated the entire mitzvah of yibum. If the Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah of yibum, obviously the Torah was aware that in every situation of yibum, there's an erva of eshes ach. And yet the Torah told us to do yibum. That's why that's not able to be a source that we say Esa Doich Eloisa Sei by Eloisa Sei Shesh Bekaris. Another teretz given by the Rishonim, which is the way we've been learning, is when the Torah tells us that when there's a woman, when a man dies, and he leaves a widow, and he had no children, it's not to say that she's an Eishas Ach, yet the mitzvah of Yibum overrides the lav of Erva. What the Torah means to say here, rather, is that she's not an eshes ach. The Torah takes away from her that category of being an erva. So we're not relying on Esa Doicha Loisa Sei. She's not an erva at all. Now the question is, we know that when do we say Esa Doicha Loisa Sei? When a person has two situations in front of him, either to be Mekayim Mitzvah Sei, or to be over a mitzvah loisasei, the Torah tells us to do the mitzvah sasei. But that's only if everybody involved has these two situations in front of him. Here, the man has the obligation to do mitzvah yibum, but the woman doesn't have an obligation to do mitzvah yibum, so perhaps that's the reason we don't say esa doicha loisasei. Not because it has kares, it's because the woman, there's no right for this woman who's falling to yibum to be over the avera if she's an erva. So from here, many Rishonim extrapolate that the chiyuv of Yibum is not only on the man, it's also on the woman. Miches Chinuch, on the other hand, says that we know that there are Rishonim that say that the mitzvah Yibum is only on the Yavam, not on the Yavama. And therefore he explains that even though we know that normally the Issa Erva applies to men and women equally, however, explains the Miches Chinuch, that when is there an Issa Erva on the woman? When there's an Issa Erva on the man. Here in the case of Yivam, if on the man there's no Issa Erva because of the mitzvah Yivam, there is also not going to be an Issa Erva on the woman, and therefore that's not the concern that the woman is doing an Aveira. Other Mefarshim attempt to explain that the power, if we're going to say that this is a situation of Esa Doicha Loisa Say, the power of Esa Doicha Loisa Say is so strong that not only for myself do we say Esa Doicha Loisa Say, but Esa Doicha Loisa Say allows another person to do a Loisa Say, to do an Aveira, in order that I should be able to Mekayim a Mitzvah Say. Now, if Beis Halevi asks that the Rambam says that the Torah says lo sikruvu legalus erva, that one may not have any contact, any physical contact with an erva. We know that the rule of Esei Doicha Loisa Say says that if at the same time I'm going to be Mekayim Mitzvah Say and be over a Loisa Say, do the Asei. But it's only if they come simultaneously. Ask the Beis Halevi, when one, the mitzvah of Yibum is to have Tashmish, to have Biyah with the Yavama. But prior to the Tashmish, he comes into physical contact. So that Lav, there is no mitzvah Yibum that should be Doichit. So how can we suggest that Esa Doicha Loisa Say? So some Mefarshim try to say that the entire act, the kirva, the physical contact, and the relations is all part of the mitzvah Yibum. The Beis Halevi, however, says a different teretz. The Beis Halevi says that when did the Torah say that there's an isser of li sikruvu legalis erva, that one may not have physical contact with an erva? That's in a circumstance where bia is also with that erva. But if bia is permitted, as in the case of Yibum, similarly, kirva, the lav of kirva, will not be applicable. Rabbi Chanan quotes a sefer Kasa de Harsana that asks a question. If we're going to say that Esei Doicha Loisa Sei Sheyesh by Kareis, even in such circumstances we say Esei Doicha Loisa Sei, asks Rabbi Chanan, why is the halacha that if one has the option of doing the aveira of erva or has to be let himself be killed, the halacha we all know is Yehorek Val Yavar, shouldn't the mitzvah of Shmartem L'Nafshei Seichem, the mitzvah of Bikuach Nefesh, be doicha the loisa say, even if it's a loisa say sheyesh bekaris, of doing the aveira of arayis? So he wants to try to say first that perhaps when we say that Bikuach Nefesh is doicha kol ha'tayra kul, besides the three averas of Gila, Rayish, Shvich, Stam, and Avodah Zarah, it's not to say that it's permitted. It's only because there's no other option. But that's not equivalent to Esa Doicha Loisa Say. But then he actually says that if the halacha is that Esa Doicha Loisa Say Shiesh Beikaris, at least at this point, he says, we would indeed perhaps be able to say that there is no Chiyav of Yehorig Val Yavar by the situation of Arayas. Continues the Gemara to say, Vesu, furthermore, we're assuming that Esa Doicha Loisa Say. The only question we have is, do we say Esa Doicha Loisa Say by Loisa Say Sheyesh Bekaris? Ask the Gemara, Loisa Say Greda Menolan Dedochi, from where do we know this concept that Esa Doicha Loisa Say? Answers the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Loisil B'Shatnes, that one may not wear Shatnes, and next to it the Pasuk says, Gedilim Tasaloch. So the Torah is putting these two dinim together to teach us that even though there's an issa to wear shatnes, when there's a mitzvah to say involved of wearing tzitzis, and as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the tzitzis have to be made out of, the tchelis at least, had to be made out of wool, So since they had to be made out of wool, that's why Esay Doichel Leisa say, and we could wear tzitzis that are shatnas. So the Rishonim discuss at length what is the concept that tells us Esay Doichel Leisa say. The Ramban explains that, because the Mefarshim explained the question even a little better, don't we know that if one violates a Leisa say, he gets an Einish? If one doesn't do a mitzvah say, he doesn't get a punishment. Furthermore, when one is not doing mitzvah say, he's just acting passively. He's not doing the mitzvah say. But one is violating a leisah say, he's actively doing an aveira. So we need to understand why is essay doicha leisah say. The Ramban explains, because mitzvah say represent a havas Hashem. One loves Hashem and therefore does what a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to do. On the other hand, mitzvahs leisah say represent yira. I'm scared. I'm scared because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told me not to do something. I'm scared because I know if I do what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told me not to do, I'll get a punishment. So a hava is a higher madrega, is a higher level than yira, and that's why essay doicha leisah say. And in fact, the Sefer Tosfos Yom Kippurim takes this concept of the Ramban even a step further. We know, he says, that Yom Kippur or any other time where a person has to eat something that he's not supposed to eat, Yom Kippur, if a person has to eat, he's not supposed to eat Yom Kippur, or let's say someone has to eat and he has two food items in front of him. One, if by eating it he'll be over a mitzvah leisah say, he'll be violating a leisah say, and the other, if he eats it, he will not be mekayim a mitzvah asay. What should he do? Says the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, based on this Ramban, that since we're learning that a mitzvah asay is more significant than a mitzvah lois asay, so he wants to suggest better to eat something which is an issa lois asay than to eat something that you'll be not mekayim a mitzvah asay. Most Paiskim disagree with the Tosfos Yom Kippurim, and they say here we're talking about doing something. What's better to do? They were talking about not about eating, and you're now and you're anyway doing an aveira. Perhaps it would not be the same. Other Rishonim advance other explanations for why Esay Doicha Leisah say. Some, the Rabbeinu Ran wants to say that when there is an essay, the Torah didn't even say that the lav exists. That's what Esay Doicha Leisah say. There is no lav in the place where a person is supposed to be mekayim and essay. And the others, we shine in the Marik, say it works with a concept of dechia, that the essay is stronger than the leisah say, and that's why I do the essay even if it means being over the lav. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, even if we'll say Esay Doicha Leisah say, that should be by mitzvah chiyuvis, by a mitzvah that I'm mechuyiv, that I'm obligated to do. So as we just explained, whatever reasoning, essay doicha leisah say. But tzitzis, asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, is a mitzvah kiyumis. It's only a mitzvah that if one wears tzitzis, he's mekayim a mitzvah, but he's not obligated, he's not mechuyiv to wear tzitzis. Who says by such a mitzvah we say essay doicha leisah say? And because of the question of Rabbi Kiva Eger, in fact, Rabbi Chanan points out, we see that Esay Doicha Leisah say even by mitzvah kiyumis. Kiva Eger, however, who holds that we only say Esay Doicha Leisah say by mitzvah kiyumis, explains that tzitzis is also perhaps considered a mitzvah kiyumis, because he quotes a Mordechai, that the Mordechai says that when is there a mitzvah to wear tzitzis? After one put on a beged with four corners, now he has an obligation. He's wearing this garment that he has to put on tzitzis. So now it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, not just a mitzvah kiyumis. There's a machloikas rishonim. After our Gemara teaches us that Esay Doicha Leisah say, and one can wear tzitzis with shatnas, will the halacha also be so at night when there's no mitzvah tzitzis? Do we still say that the tzitzis of shatnas may be worn? It's machloikis rishonim. And the Sefer Shals Tshuvas Oynig Yontif wants to say that this machloikis rishonim is really based on a machloikis that we learn in the Gemara. What is the mitzvah of tzitzis? Is it a chayvus gavra? Is it is it a mitzvah for the person, or is a chayvus mana a din for the beged, for the garment? If we learn it's a chayvus mana, says the Oinig Yontif, that even at night the tzitzis of shatness can be worn. If we learn it's a chayvus kavra, so only by day, when the person's being mekayim a mitzvah, is there a din of wearing tzitzis, not by night. However, everyone agrees that when we say that tzitzis may be shatness, it only refers to the threads of the tzitzis can be made out of wool, even though the beged is made out of linen. But the actual beged, the actual garment, everybody is in agreement, cannot be shatness. The Oinig Yontif explains, because wearing a beged that's shatness, that's a combination of wool and linen, is not considered levisha. It's not considered that you're wearing a beged. It's not a beged in the Torah's eyes. And therefore, certainly, one cannot wear such a beged, even though we're permitting shatness by tzitzis. And in fact, there's an interesting shaila. If one had a garment that was shatness, and he put tzitzis on it, and then realized that the beged is shatness, will there be... So now he wants to remove the shatness from that garment. Will he also have to remove the tzitzis before he could wear them? Because as we know, there's a halacha of tasav alayim and osui. The tzitzis, or other mitzvahs, we have this by schach, it has to be made in a kosher fashion. It can't become kosher retroactively. So here, as the achroinim, that if when one puts on the tzitzis, it was a beged that can't be worn, because the beged was shatness, and now I'm removing the shatness, and the tzitzis become retroactively kosher, that's tasav alayim and osui, and perhaps I should have to remove the tzitzis and put them back on after I remove the shatness. So some want to connect this to a machlokes that we learned in Masechta Sukkah, machlokes Rishonim. The halacha is that when one puts on tzchach, there should be nothing covering the sukkah. What would be the halacha if one has, let's say, a skylight? He has a sukkah in his kitchen, he has a skylight, and he's supposed, when he put on the schach, certainly the halacha is, he should open up the skylight and put on the schach. What would be the halacha if he did not do that? He put on the schach when the skylight was closed. So we find, regarding the shaila, a machloikis rishonim. Some say that the sukkah is a kosher sukkah. The fact that the skylight was on top doesn't disqualify it. It doesn't make a tasav alayim and osui. That's the shita of the Ritzchak Kalovan. And others, the shita of Rabbeinu Baruch Miransberg, say that sukkah is disqualified. And they want to compare these two shailas. Says Rabbi Kivega that the comparison is not correct. Because in the case of tzitzis, the beged and the tzitzis are kosher. It's a garment and has tzitzis on it. There's a side technical issue that this garment is shatness. That doesn't disqualify this tzitzis, and therefore, even if the tzitzis were put on when the beged was still shatness, they may be removed afterwards. On the other hand, by sukkah, a sukkah under a skylight is not a sukkah, and therefore the two situations should not be compared. The Prima Godim disagrees with Rabbi Kivega. The Prima Godim says, the Pasuk says, Gedilim tasilcha al abrats kafes ksuscha ashtachasaba. Tzitzis are put on a beged ashtachasaba that one can cover himself with. This is a beged that one can't cover himself with because of shatness. And therefore he says that in such circumstances, after the shatness was removed, the tzitzis should be untied and tied back again. And the Mishnah Berurah says, L'chatchila, one should act like the Prima Godim and do so. The Rishonim ask a question. Here the Gemara is saying that because tzitzis and shatness are put together, therefore we know that tzitzis can be shatness. Ask the Achronim. We know that women are exempt from the mitzvah tzitzis because it's a mitzvah aseishas man groma. On the other hand, we know that matzah on Pesach, even though it's a mitzvah aseishas man groma, women are obligated to eat matzah. And the explanation being because the Torah puts together the mitzvah of eating matzah with the issur of eating chametz, given that women are prohibited from eating chametz on Pesach, they have to eat matzah. So why don't we say the same thing here? That women are prohibited from wearing shatnas. They should be obligated to wear tzitzis. So the Rishonim give two terutzim. One terutz is that the hekish that says that women are exempt from mitzvah seishah as man grama, the hekish to mitzvah tefillin, is stronger than the smuchim of tzitzis to shatnas. Or another pshat that the Rishonim give is, when do we say such a limit? It's the Torah by putting together matzah and chametz. What was the only thing we learned from it is that whoever is also to eat chametz has to eat matzah. But here, when the Torah put together tzitzis and shatnas, we already have a limud. The limud is to teach us that tzitzis may be shatnas. So the pasuk will not come to teach us another limud that women have to wear tzitzis. Mefarshim ask another question, that why should there be an iser to wear shatnas, tzitzis that are shatnas? When one wears tzitzis, it's a mitzvah. He's wearing it to be mekayim a mitzvah. And we have a rule that mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. So Mefarshim give two answers. One answer is, as we explained earlier, tzitzit is not a mitzvah that one is obligated to do. Tzitzit is a mitzvah that if I have a bag of four corners, I have to wear tzitzit. So that's not considered a mitzvah that's lav lehenes. Another teretz that the stipler gives is that tzitzit is the mitzvah tzitzit are the threads, not the garment. And the garment is a regular garment that certainly one has hanah from when he's wearing, and if not for the special limud, one would not be allowed to wear tzitzis that are shatnas. The Sefer Noyim Megodim quotes the pasuk in Eish Yischayel, Gamlasu toy v'loy roh kol yimei chayeho, Dorshot semer v'fishtim v'tas b'chevetz kapeho. So he explains, Dorshot semer v'fishtim. Our Gemara quotes the pasuk of Tzemer u'Pishtim to teach us that Esei Doicha Loisa say. And as we said earlier, why is Esei Doicha Loisa say? Isn't a Loisa say more serious than an Esei? Says the pasuk, V'tas b'chefetz kapel. An Esei is really stronger than a Loisa say. Because by an Esei, one gets a schar for doing a mitzvah Esei, even if he intended to do it. He had the machshava toiva. Tas b'chefetz. He just had the chefetz. He had just the desire. He already has the power of being mekayim mitzvah sasei. By lois sasei, he's only over the avera if he actually did the avera. Because of that, darsha tzemer ufishtim esay doicha lois sasei. Says the Minchas Alozer, that's pshat in the previous pasuk. Gamlasu toiv v'loira. Gamlasu toiv v'loira. Isn't it, as the Gemara says, there are more mitzvahs lois asay than mitzvahs asay? So a person is always in danger that he's closer to doing averus than doing mitzvahs. Says the pasuk gemlasu toiv, it's better to do mitzvahs asay v'loy raw and not to do mitzvahs lois asay, even though there are more mitzvahs lois asay than asay. That's why asay doicha lois asay dosho tzemer v'fishtim. The Ramban asks, perhaps we should not be able to learn from mitzvahs tzitzis that Esa Doicha Loisa say. For as the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos, mitzvahs tzitzis is such a significant mitzvah. It's kula kakala taira kula. Says the Ramban, we know it says in Pirkei Avos, that we're not supposed to look at the matan schar shel mitzvahs. We're not able to weigh which mitzvah is more significant and which mitzvah is less significant. And therefore, says the Ramban, that's not a reason to say that tzitzis is different than all other mitzvahs, and we cannot use it as a source for Esa Doicha Loisa say. Ram Rebbe Loza, continues the Gemara, Rebbe Loza says, Smuchim and Atar Menayin, from where do we know that we follow the fact that two subjects are next to each other, that's something to explain? Shenem, as the Pasuk says in Tillim, Smuchim la'ad la'oilim asuim ba'emes v'yosher, if two psukim are next to each other, it's to be explained. How do we know if a woman fell to Yibam, to a person who has boils, a difficult person to have relations with, so we do not muzzle her, we allow her to say, I don't want to have relations with this man, I don't want to have Yibam with this man? As the pasuk says, the Torah says that you're not allowed to muzzle an axe when it's working. But next to it is the pasuk of Kiyesh v'yayich, the pasuk of Yibam, to teach us that a woman should not be muzzled if she says that she can't live, have relations with this man who's a mukashkin. And as the Gemara says, even if her husband was a mukashkin, so one could argue her complaint is baseless, we see that she has no problems having relations with a person who's a mukashkin. Still, she could say, with my husband, I was willing to accept it, not with the yavam. Machloikis Rishonim, Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos, is this a valid complaint and a valid accept taina only by mukashkin or by any acceptable situation that she says she doesn't want to have relations with this yavam and she has an acceptable explanation? Rashi says it's not only mukashkin. Tosfos says it only refers to mukashkin. There's another interesting machloikis Rishonim. In a case where a woman is refusing to have yibum, and as Al Gemara says, she has a right to say it, can we force the man to perform chalitza? Some Rishonim say we can, and some Rishonim say we do not. She could say she doesn't want to have yibum, but we can't force the yavam to make chalitza. And as the Chasam Sofer explains in the Tshuva, even though doing chalitza is a big mitzvah, and as the Zohar explains, it's a big skula, it's something important to the neshama of the brother who passed away without children, still, Kabbalah cannot force us to paskin halacha. And if the halacha is that we can't force this man to do chalitza, we cannot force him to do chalitza. The Mefarshim also make an interesting observation. The first case of smuchim taught us that something that we thought should not be done may be done. We thought that you're not allowed to wear shatnez, and here the Torah tells us you're allowed to. Here this case of smuchim is just the opposite. It teaches us something that we thought should be done, that yibum should be done, doesn't have to be done. What's the explanation? Explain the Mefarshim. In the first pasuk we have the din of shatnez. Everybody knows that shatnez is asur. What is the smuchim coming to teach us? That in this case, shatnez is not asur. In the other situation, we know that the woman is obligated to have yibum. What must this? That's the Pashto Svara. What must the smuchim be coming to teach us? That we don't have to do yibum if she has a valid issue to prevent her from doing yibum. V'amar Reb Yosef, afil a man that doresh smuchim ba'alma, even a man the Omer that doesn't learn smuchim the whole Torah, but Mishnah Torah doresh. In Mishnah Torah he will learn smuchim. The Rehuda ba'alma loy doresh. Rehuda is the man the Omer that does not learn smuchim in all of the Torah, but the Mishnah Torah Darish, he does learn it in Mishnah Torah. Ask the Mefarshim. We say every day, morning the Brisa of Rav Shmuel, Shloish Esser Midas HaTorah Nedrashas Behen. Why isn't Smuchim in that list? So now they explain this is the basis, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we only learn Smuchim in Mishnah Torah. And the Brisa of Yishmol teaches us the Shlosh Esser Midas that are not limited to one Sefer, but it teaches us the Shlosh Esser Midas that apply to Kol HaTorah Kula. Another Torah says that it really is included in the Shlosh Esser Midas, because that's what it means when it says Dava HaLomim Minyanoi for Dava HaLomim Misoifoi actually refers to Smuchim. Ask the Gemara over Alma Menolan de Laidarsh. How do we know then the rest of the Torah, besides Sefer Devarim, Rabbi Yehuda does not learn Smuchim? The Tanya. Ben Ezer Omer. Nemer it says in the Pasuk, Mechshef Lo Yisachaya. And next to it it says, Kos Shoichiv Mehem Mashimus. If one has relations with an animal, he should be killed. Somche Inuloi. These two parashias, these two dinim, were put together to teach us. Ma Shoichiv Mehem Skila. One has relations with an animal, the punishment is Skila. Af Mechshefa Beskila. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Ben Azai, "V'chim ebnei shesamchu inyan loy noitzi zel skila." Just because these two parshas are next to each other, will we give this person this machshefa skila? Ella, how does Rabbi Yehuda say? Do we know that machshefa is subject to skila? Oyvi yidoni, which are types of kishif, bechla machshef mahayu, is part of the category of machshefim. V'lomi yatsu, why were they separated? Out, singled out from all other machshefim. L'hakish lam v'loy malach. Ma oivi doini b'skila. The Torah tells us oivi doini get skila. Af machshefa is subject to skila. Ask the Gemara of Mishnah Torah Menol in the Darsh. And how do we know that in Mishnah Torah Rabbi Yehuda does dash and smuchim? Tanan. Because we learned in the Mishnah later in Daf Tzadik Zayin. Noisi Adam Anusas Aviv Mufutas Aviv. The Tanakhama holds a person may marry a woman who was raped or seduced by his father. Anusas Benoyim Mufutas Benoyim. A person could marry a woman who was raped or seduced by his son. Yehuda Oisab Anusas Aviv Mufutas Aviv. Yehuda says a man may not marry a woman raped by his father or seduced by his father. Varav Gidla Marav. My Tamad Rabbi Yehuda. Tiksiv. The pasuk says, Leikach ish es eishes aviv, v'leigala knaf aviv. Knaf shenor aviv. Any person whose who the father had a relationship with, leigala the son may not have a relationship with. Ask them Ramaydam Nusiksiv. How do we know that this pasuk is referring to Anusa? Says the Rabbi Yehuda, Miloy the crow, because look at the previous pasukim. Tiksiv. V'nosin ish ashoichiv la'vi anara chamishim kesef. Which is the parsha of Oinus, a mighty shemra that says that she was an Oinus, she wasn't an Oinus. Samachla, the case where a woman was raped, that you have to pay knas chamishim kesef. Samachla loyikach ish. Rabbonim. So the Rabbonim who learned smuchim in the whole Torah certainly should agree to Rabbi Yehuda here. Why do they disagree? Say the Rabbanan, Iyav Samachlo, if the two parshas were right next to each other, they say to Rabbi Yehuda Kedekarim, you would certainly be right. However, Hashtad Lai Samachle, they're not right next to each other. The Ksiv Lai Ikach Eshish Ovin Atayim, there's this pasuk which interrupts between the parsha of Anusa and the parsha of Lai Gal Knaf Oviv. That teaches us B'Shemeres Yom Makos Medaber. So I say the Rabbanan, the pasuk of Lai Gal Knaf Oviv is teaching us that one may not have relations with a woman who is a shemeres yovim to a father, who's waiting to have yibim from his father, or lava Allah b'shnei lavim, and one will get two lavim. One is that he's not have relations with his uncle's wife, and another issa will be that he's not have relations with a shemeres yovim of his father. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, that differentiates between Mishnah Torah and the rest of the Torah. And the Mishnah Torah, he does learn smuchim, and the rest of the Torah, he doesn't. Mishnah Torah and my time the Darush. Why is Mishnah Torah different than the rest of the Torah? Answer the Gemara, Ibais Eima Mishum the Muchach, because in Mishnah Torah, it's evident, it's obvious that the reason these two psukim are put together is to explain something. Ibais Eima Mishum the Mufni, because the psukim are extra. So the Machlokes Rishonim how to explain this Gemara. Tosfos explains that the Gemara knew that in Mishnah Torah all the situations of smuchim were either muchach or mufni, whereas that wasn't the case in the rest of the Torah. That's how Tosfos learns. The Ramban and the Ritva explain the Gemara so. The whole Torah we have a klal of Ein Mugdam Amuch B'Torah. There's no specific order to the way the Torah was written. It's only in Mishnah Torah where there is no rule of Ein Mugdam Amuch B'Torah. The whole Torah is Ein Mugdam Amuch B'Torah, so we can't bring a proof from the fact that two psukim are together. Mishnah Torah, however, is different, and that's why we can say we could use the concept of smuchim. According to the Ramban and Ritva's explanation, say the Mefarshim explaining them, the halacha would be that if we would have a case of mufni in the rest of the Torah, Rabbi Yehuda would indeed agree that we could say smuchim. But then there's another explanation, the explanation of the Ravan. The Ravan is also Rishon. He says the Mishnah Torah is fundamentally different than the rest of the Torah, because Mishnah Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas the rest of the Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can't compare what was said by Moshe Rabbeinu to something that was said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they're not treated the same way, and only in Mishnah Torah does Rabbi Yehuda learn smuchim, nowhere else. So now the Gemara explains how this pasuk of Anusas Aviv and Mufutas Aviv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is either Muchach and Mufni. Either we could explain that it's Muchach, Dim Kain, if it's not there to teach us the Smuchim, Lichta Rechmana Gabarayas, why isn't this Erva of Loigal Knaf Aviv mentioned together with all the other Arayas in Seder Vayikra. Why is it mentioned here in Dvarim? It must be to teach us smuchim. Ribayis emish in the mifni. Dimkein lichta rechmana. The words are extra, because it would be adequate that the Torah should say, lo yikach ish es eshes aviv. Lo yigal knaf aviv lomeli. Why did the Torah add the words, lo yigal knaf aviv? The extra to teach us smuchim, to teach us one may not have relations with a nusus of, that may not marry a nusus aviv, umafutus aviv. Shma min alafnuya, it's extra to teach us this then. The gabit tzitzis nami, same by tzitzis, ibois emishum de muchach. As we started at the beginning of the shir, that by tzitzis we use the fact that they're next to the parasha of shatnes to teach us esadoich aloysa say. There too it's either muchach, it's obvious that they were put together to teach us this, or ibay sem shunamufni, it's extra. So there's machlok rishonim here too how to understand. Some rishonim are saying that the Gemara here is explaining Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda says that we only say smuchim if it's muchach or mufni. So the Gemara is proving that by tzitzit it's either muchach or mufni, and that's why we could say smuchim. Other rishonim say that even the rabbanon, who normally do not require muchach or mufni to say smuchim, in the case of tzitzis will require it. Because as we said at the beginning of the shir, tzitzis is the source for kol ha-toyra kula that we say esedoich eloysa say. So since it's such an important pasuk, it teaches us for the whole Torah that we say esedoich eloysa say, that's why even Rabbanan agree that we have to have either muchach or mufni to say such a smuchim and to teach such a din. Ibai seimish from the muchach, how is it obvious? Dim kain, if it were just here to teach us the din, lichter rechmona gabi parasha tzitzis. As Rishonim explained, certainly we need the pasuk of Gedilim Tasloch, because as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem and tomorrow Shir, that pasuk teaches us very important halachas regarding how tzitzis are made. But it should have been in Parsha Shlach, where all the halachas of tzitzis are. Why is it here in Dvarim? It must be to teach us another din, the halacha of esedoich eloysa say. Vibay same, another way of explaining, is mishun de mufna, because the pasuk is superfluous. Michti, kosov obeged klaim shatnes loyal alecha. The pasuk already teaches us obeged klaim, that you're not shatnes, you're not with shatnes. So loysil b'shatnes lomeli, this pasuk of loysil shatnes, why do I need it? I already know that shatnes is prohibited to be worn. Shema mina, lefnui, it's extra to teach us smuchim. Ask the Gemara, if the reason is because the pasuk is extra, that could be disputed. Hani mitzrich tzrichi, we do need this pasuk. Dikas rachmano lo yalo alecha, if we only had the pasuk, abegit klaim shatnes lo yalo alecha, hava mina kol derech halo as rachmana. Whenever one puts shatnes on himself, he's over the aver of shatnes, and therefore afilu mechrik sus. Salespeople who wear shatnes just as sampling the clothing when they're wearing them should be over the avera. Kos rachmana lo silba shatnes, dumi delvish despa hano. The one is only over the avera of shatnes if he has hano when he wears the shatnes. And it's interesting, machlokes rishonim. According to Rashi, only if one intends to enjoy the shatnes that he's wearing is he over the avera. Other rishonim say it doesn't require intent. If in fact a person is having hanor from wearing shatnes, even if that's not his intent, he's over the avera. On the other hand, ikas rachmana leisilbush. If the Torah would have only said leisilbush, have a mina. I would say dafka levisha, only levisha, the nafesh hanasa, where a person has a lot of hana when he wears it. That's where shatnes is asur. Aval halo, but merely placing an article of shatnes on oneself would not be asur. Kos rachmana loyal alecha, that's why the Torah had to write loyal alecha. Asks Reb Nachum Perchavis, why do I even have a havmina? Why would I have a havmina that halal should be Osir. Of course halah is not osir. If the Torah only says loy silbush, silbush doesn't mean halah. Says Reb Nachum, the Gemara's have mean it was that what does levisha mean? Levisha means that one is enjoying. So, yes, halah is not the same as levisha, but it does have enjoyment involved. So the Gemara's have mean it was, should it be compared to levisha or not? So the Gemara says, no, it's not levisha. Until the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, lo yala alecha, you're not allowed to place it on oneself, even if it's not derech levisha. And that's why we learned that one's not allowed to lay even on an article that's shatness, because it may come to cover him. And as we even discussed, the Michas Shishchak says that one shall chatchila be careful that his mattress should not be shatness, because when he lays down, the mattress may come up and cover him somewhat. In Cain, says the Gemara, it's still, there's still something extra in this pasuk that can allow us to teach smuchim. Because lichta rechmana loy silba shatnes. The pasuk says loy silba shatnes tsemer upishtim yachtov. What is it tough to say tsemer upishtim lomeli? Michti. The pasuk already says ubegit kloim shatnes loyala lecha. The Tandabe Rishmal, Rabbi Shmal teaches us, hoyel v'nemer b'tayrus tam begodim. Wherever the Torah just uses the word begit, a garment, by one of them, the Torah explained that a beged means that it's made out of tsemer pishtim. The parasha of shvatzim, there the Torah teaches us that a beged, the pasuk says that a beged is made out of tsemer pishtim. From there we know that whenever the Torah says beged, it means tsemer pishtim, because as we know, if kol dav shay yotz min a klal, lo elam al atzma yotzo, elam al klal kula yotzo, comes to teach us all places where it says beged, it means semer pishtim. So, if so, semer pishtim, the word semer pishtim that it said in the pasuk, or lo silbash klayim, the kos rachmana lomeli, lo silbash shatnes, why is it there? Shmamina lefnui, it's extra, and therefore we can learn smuchim. Ask the Gemara, vakati etzruch. They're not extra. Because Sakadat Chamina, if the Pasuk did not say it, I would say only Halohi, only regarding placing upon oneself Shatness, there Tsemer Upishtin are also. Because Loi Nafesh Hanoso, when one places upon himself Shatness, it's not that great level of Hanoh. Avalavisha, but when one wears Shatness, the Nafesh Hanoso, where there's a lot of Hanoh, perhaps kol trei mini os rechmana, any mixture of two types of material, not specifically one or linen, os rechmana should be osir. That's why kos rechmana tsemer mishtim, to teach us that even for levisha, it's only wool and linen that's osir, nothing else. Answers the Gemara im Kain. If that's why, if that's the point, lishta kramine, let the Torah not have said anything. V'taisi shatnes shatz malah. I will learn exer shavu that says shatnes by a law. It says the word shatnes here, just like by halah it means wool and linen. Here too, it must mean only wool and linen. So the word semer and pishtin are excellent, extra. Ask the Gemara. V'tana de beir Rishmol, according to Rishmol, we're saying that the reason tzitzis may be shatness is because tamid the kos rachmanot semer pishtim, because the Torah used the word semer pishtim, which we just proved are extra, and therefore we learned smuchim, and that's how we know that tzitzis we could tie wool to linen beged. Halav hachi, if I did not have these extra words, I would say klaim but tzitzis have a mina d'asur rachmana. The Torah would be telling us that one may not have tzitzis tanim shatness. V'ksiv, the pasuk says v'aslam tzitzis al kafel g'deyim. The pasuk says we have to put tzitzis on the corners of our garments. V'tanir v'shmol, and v'shmol, as we learned before, tells kol begodim, wherever the Torah uses the word beged, it means semer pishtim. Vam Rachman, and the Torah says, Avalei Tchelis, put on Tchelis on the corner of this beged. And Tchelis, as we're going to prove in a moment, is Amrahu. So the Torah is telling us that even though we have a linen beged, we're allowed to put on wool tzitzis. Ask the Gemara, Umamai Tchelis Amrahu, and from where do you know that Tchelis is always wool? Answers the Gemara, since the Torah tells us to bring to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan, Tchelis v'agomen, Tlashani v'sheish, Sheish, we know is Kitna, and we know that they brought wool and linen, it must be that the tchelis was amra, was wool. As Tysus, perhaps the tchelis also linen, and that garment and tlashani were wool. Says Tysus that all of the dyed materials must have been the same material. So if tchelis is going to be linen, then our garment and tlashani will also be linen. Then we won't have any wool. It must be that tchelis and our garment and tlashani are all wool. So if so, we already have a proof, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that tzitzis may be shatness. Why do I need this limit? Itzrich. Sakadat chamina kaderava. If not for these extra words, we would perhaps learn like Rava. The Rava Rami. Rava asked the contradiction between two psukim. Ksiv hakonof. The pasuk says that the tzitzis should be hakonof, min konof. That the tzitzis should be the same material that the garment is made out of. The ksiv, tzemru pishtim. And the other pasuk it says that they should be wool or linen. Haketzet. How do we reconcile these two psukim? Tzemru pishtim. If the tzitzis are made out of wool or linen, poitrim, they whether the garment is made out of those materials or out of other materials, shaminim, but other types of material, beminon, paitrim, they have to be the same type as the garment, shleiminon, but if they're not the same type as the garment, and a paitrim, they're not kind of mitzitzitzis. So, that's what this pasuk is coming to teach us. If the Torah had not said wool and linen, one might have thought that you always have to have the tzitzis being the same type as the garment. That's why the Torah had to say that it has to be wool and linen, to teach us that it can always be the same. That's what I would have used this pasuk for, and therefore I need semro pishtin to be extra to teach smuchim. As the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't fundamentally agree with Rava. The basis of Rava's explanation is based that you can have a garment on which you have to put tzitzis that's not wool or linen. Rabbi Shmuel says that the only garments that are obligated in tzitzis are garments that are made out of wool or linen. For Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, less late the Rava. He fundamentally disagrees with Rava. So how can we explain? Rabbi Shmuel perhaps would learn like Rava. It's, says the Gemara, that even though Rav Shmuel doesn't begin at the same place Rava begins, perhaps he would learn the same diik that Rava learned. He would say hakonof min konof. The tzitzis should be the same material as the garment. The Torah is telling us if you have a woolen garment, put on woolen tzitzis, or pishtin with tishtim, linen tzitzis to a linen garment. If you have a woolen garment, then you can dye tzave, you could dye some of those tzitzis to tchelis. Avot semel pishtin, but to put on wool tzitzis on a linen garment, or pishtin tzemer, or linen tzitzis to a wool garment, loy, kas rachmana. That's why the Torah says tzemel pishtim. That's why the Torah had to say these extra words, tzemel pishtim, that feel it tzemel pishtim, wool tzitzis could be put on a linen garment, or pishtim and linen tzitzis could be put on a tzemer, on a wool garment. However, as we know, this halach is not relevant, because we don't have tchelis. It's only when one has to put on tchelis, may he put on wool tzitzis on a garment, that he should be able to mekayim the mitzvah. We who don't have tchelis, may not wear a linen garment, and wool tzitzis. Mefarshim ask, even if it's a linen garment, why should he be allowed to put on wool tzitzis? Just tell him to put on a wool garment. So the Mefarshim explain, either, because as we said earlier, Rabbi Akiva Eger taught us the Mordechai, that once one puts on a four-cornered beged, he has to put on tzitzis. So here he's already wearing the linen garment, so he has no choice but to put on tzitzis, which are wool, or another pshat is that this is the only garment that he has, and therefore he has no choice but to wear it and then put on wool and tzitzis. And Tysus goes even a step further. Tysus says that if one is wearing a linen garment, not only are the strands made out of, that are going to be the tchelis, which must be wool, allowed to be wool, but even the white strands, which according to this Gemara could be linen strands, we don't act this way, but halachically are permissible. Migui, that you could have the blue strands wool. We could even have the white strands wool also.